Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Health Options Show for August 4th, 2013. How did we get here already? It's amazing. This is Richard Olson, and I'm here with
Sherry Edwards.
Good morning. I was typing that into my own notes this morning, and I went, how did we get three quarters of the way through the year? I'm amazed.
Hey, I am working on a sound that will distort the perception of time, and I did stumble on something last week that I think will significantly prolong life, the life of the cell, which in turn will prolong the life of the entity.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess we should tell people that I work with a research company that deals with the idea of frequency. Did you see the new stuff about they've got this little sliver-looking thing that they can put in you, and they can deliver frequencies to you? It's by GlaxoSmithKline.
More wow, I mean, it's like scary.
GlaxoSmithKline, and it's a new frequency medicine, so it may be a little safer for us to jump out into the public, which we have kind of stepped back and really didn't do a whole lot out in front. So maybe our time has come. This is Sound Health Options, and we're sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and we do research and we see clients and we gather data and information. We've been working with the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation here in Ohio. Just saw some clients last week. Wonderful folks. The guy first came in with a cane. He's not using a cane anymore. He can start using his foot again. It was an operation, and they accidentally cut the wrong nerve. So we're here putting him back together. Also saw something on TV yesterday that just scares the Jesus out of me. And they were talking about what's really in Obamacare. And one of the things it said, you know, and I should love Obamacare. I should totally embrace Obamacare because it gives us more customers or people to work on and see what's going on with them. But they said these death panels, they aren't really death panels. They're panels that choose whether or not you deserve treatment. If you're an old lady and you fall and break your hip and you don't have anything significant to add in your life, you're just there as somebody's mother or grandma, you don't get the hip operation because you don't have enough of a productive life left. Hey, folks, we already have frequencies that will put together bones that are broken, help get rid of the pain, you know, and we're trying to put all of this together to put a bioacoustic center in every community. I'm going to do a commercial right here. We have put together a bundle of software. We teach this class every month, and I'm putting together a bundle, many softwares to give away to you folks who are going to be taking the class in August so that you can immediately start your practice. And you don't have to be caught up in this garbage of Obamacare. That was my soapbox. That was early.
Wow, on the soapbox right out of the gate. I love it when you do that.
It is incredible what is going on and how we're being deceived and what's going on. Richard and I were talking beforehand about Snowden, Edward Snowden. We've done his voice. We know his intention. We know Bradley Manning's intention. They're totally different. These are two, to me, whistleblowers the government would like to call them people who are unpatriotic. What is traitors? They're calling them traitors. But look back. The people who helped us gain our freedom from England would have been called traitors and would have been put in jail had we not won. And one of the new, I've got the hiccups, one of the new executive orders is that all whistleblowers are to be considered traitors and enemies of the state. And that's how we started. How can somebody write a presidential executive order about whistleblowers and say they're not allowed in a country where freedom of expression and to be who you are is our foundation? You know, last week we talked about how to protect your company, and so many of you wrote in and said, well, I want to know how to protect me. So we went looking, and we found a book that was first published in 2000 by J.J. Luna, Jack Luna. And so on a whim, a total whim, I got in touch with him and said, would you be on this show? Because our people are asking for more information about how they can protect themselves personally. Yes, we need protection of business. Came out yesterday that taxes on small businesses has been up to 39.4%. So why should you work at all if 40% of it is going to go to the government just in taxes, and that does not even include payroll taxes and taxes to the state and your local people who they've now put a 6% tax on us to help pay their welfare because the state's broke. You know, it's getting to the point where not only do businesses need to go underground, but we the people need to go underground and hide ourselves because things are happening that we need some control over. I think that's what makes us safe, if we have dominion over something that we can control. And so we decided that we were going to ask Mr. Luna to be with us, who wrote this wonderful book, How to Be Invisible, and he couldn't make it, so he has sent us his attorney, John Clark. We'll be with him in just a few minutes because he is the attorney behind this book, How to Be Invisible. And I was reading some of it. It is up to date. It has internet stuff on it. So from 2000 and 2004 and then 2012. And so he'll be with us just in a few moments. Richard, is John Clark with us yet?
I don't see him yet. John, if you're on one of the mystery numbers that I don't see, would you please press 1 to raise your hand? Thanks.
Okay, and I will talk about, do we have other things to rave about before I talk about the keynote?
I think, well, we could, now let's just go into the keynote. I think it's good to understand the cosmic frequency that's happening. I love the energy that what the cosmic energy represents in the essence of the keynote is always so mind-numbing in its positive information of like, oh, that's why my hip's hurting so much. So please, keynote us.
Well, you are right. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, and I see some new people here, and we are getting well over 1,000 archive listeners. So you guys are doing a great job of passing this information on to your group of people. So we're going to get to... Yes, TJ says, the oppressors in D.C. should be the ones hiding from us. Absolutely. Well, they are, and they're getting paranoid. You know, Obama now has a food taster. Okay, we're going to talk about the frequencies coming from outer space, interstellar, to us, and they're being monitored by NASA, a lot of private companies now, and also from Motorola when they were putting up all those satellites for those secret, very expensive phones that would work anywhere, even in a black hole, it seemed. And I only know about that because I have relatives who work there, and they let me know what was happening. But we've been following these, and we wrote a computer program that would tell us what frequency was coming to the Earth at any one time, because they're very cyclical. A moon cycle, the frequencies are affected by the tides and sunspots, and we're made of, what, 93% water or something like that? So it's affecting us. We are always amazed at how this comes down, because right now, today, for the next 2 or 3 days, things that cause arthritis are going to be an issue. So your joints may be a little more creaky. We suggest that you do some good fish oil, DHA or EPA. Either one of those would be good. And one of the things that is happening that we're finding that's absolutely consistent is when we take people off of gluten, and there's some new stuff called gliadin, which is a form of gluten, but this is the stuff that's distorting our DNA. So staying off of barley, rye, oats, wheat, svelte, and you can remember this by the word B-R-O-W-S-E, barley, rye, oats, wheat, svelte, eliminate. The other thing that just in the last few days is milk protein. If people are drinking the milk from a place that's, you know, it's been sitting on the shelf, we're very lucky that we have a local dairy here where we can go get milk. But they pasteurize all of this and they take out all the good stuff for it to digest itself. So the protein in the milk is causing an issue for those people who need to restructure their nerves. The myelin nerve proteins are in stress right now. So another thing, if you're having peripheral neuropathy, you can't feel your hands or feet, or you just can't feel things quite as well as you could, like you didn't used to be able to stick your hands directly in the hot water out of the tap, now it doesn't bother you. You've got some deadening of the nerves at the end of your fingers, your nose, your toes. So that deals with milk protein. Now, not milk sugars like lactose intolerance, but milk protein. So be sure if you're going to have milk, use something that is cultured. Buttermilk, nice Amish cheese that they let ferment itself, yogurts, that kind of thing. The other thing that is in stress right now is vitamin C. Now, we told you many times, and this is on our site under more, soundhealthoptions.com. It's under the keynote. Now, last week's keynote is still up there. But we told you that bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. And vitamin C is in stress right now. And vitamin C is the same as putrescine, which makes things rot, and it happens to be very elevated when people die. So feeding people vitamin C right now, fruit vitamin C, kiwi is a good source of vitamin C, and oranges and lemons and limes. You know, put a little fresh lime or lemon juice in your drink. The inflammation, something called C-reactive protein, is very active, and that's what's causing the arthritis. So off the wheat usually helps the arthritis. Fish oil usually helps arthritis. So that's the keynote for today, but I want to make one other announcement somebody just reminded me of. When you go to NanoVoice to download, you put a little thing on there for you to put in your name and email address. So many people are objecting to that they don't want to have to give us their email address. So we are going to make that optional in case you want some of the new charts or the new classes, or to be reminded when we're going to use NanoVoice to test allergies and show you how to do that. We've got a new one coming up. We've created a NanoVoice program to look at diet to see which issues in your diet are going to be a problem. So if you don't want to give us your address, if it's not up there already that it's voluntary, that's fine. But we don't sell that to anybody. We just use it to inform you of new stuff. Richard, did you know that the United States Post Office sells your address to people? I just found that out yesterday, reading this book, How to Make Yourself Invisible. I thought that was incredible, that as you move and change your address, if you care that it's permanent, a permanent change, they sell that information to, who knows, catalog people or mail order houses. I just think it's absolutely incredible. And I learned it from How to Be Invisible, the book by Jack Luna. We're going to be introducing you, I hope, to Jack Luna's attorney. And Richard says that his mic is down for a moment, and he'll be right back. We're going to be talking to John Clark. He's the attorney behind, well, I should go to home, because he talks about privacy in aviation, and I didn't even know that was a part of what he did, but asset and aviation privacy. And I want to talk to him, too, about how do you get on a plane and give your ghost address, because he talks about that a lot. So when I looked at this picture, I didn't expect him to be this young, because this privacy issue is absolute in the United States, or was. Now with this new thing that the government can get into any of your emails and listen to your phone calls, and even though they're saying, no, 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 we're not doing that, every day something new comes about that shows that they really are doing these things and that these are not phony scandals. I think the whole idea here is divide and conquer. So as we look at J.J. Luna's book, that it has been a top seller for 13 years. Now, that's a lot for a book. There have been a lot of people looking at this. So I don't know a lot about the book. I've just begun to read it. I downloaded it on my Kindle, which I love. But we're going to be talking to John Clark, attorney. And if you have questions, just go ahead and type them in the chat. We are simultaneously broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio, and you can go to just blogtalkradio.com and look up Sound Health Options and jump in and listen. But if you want to watch what we're doing, like right now we have John Clark's website up, and we're going to be looking at some things there as he talks about them. So is John with us now?
Richard? Not yet, but he's calling in. He's calling in just a moment.
Okay.
And so, I will rail for a moment about the kind of data. I was backstage before the show. I was talking to Sherry about. I listed some very tech, very deep, you know, nerd types, and one of them is a security expert, and he's really. And he's not a paranoid security expert. He's just a person who designs systems to be secure. And he's just talking about how amazing it is to him that really the kind of information they're gathering is everything. It's not just phone calls and emails. It's bank accounts. It's financial transactions. It's all the data is passing through the filtration system that is called the NSA. And it's a massive amount of information. I mean, not only is it massive, but I mean, it's everything. It's all financial transactions. It's just anything that is going through the ones and zeros that is the internet is passing through that, or will pass through that giant million square foot facility in Utah that the NSA will have. I mean, it's everything. It's unfiltered. It's like opening a giant pipe. It's like opening the Hoover Dam. I mean, it's just. Now, they have to be able to search through that, which is a different conversation. But, I mean, it's just, it's everything. It's just mind-numbing.
Okay, people are saying that you, Richard, are muffled. So you might want to go to Blog Talk and listen to the sound, JTM, whoever signed in with that, because you're hearing Richard through my phone setup, and it's much better on Blog Talk. In this book that they talk about what words even that they look for, and they talk about what countries outside of here. So if you've got your money in Switzerland and you're emailing back and forth, they've got that covered. So we're going to learn how to look at all this. You know, in the wake of all this government interference with our privacy, you know, I shouldn't be one talking about that. I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I take people's vocal print and I look at their real intention. So I take their privacy, but I don't look at anything that people haven't put up on the Internet for public domain or whatever. I will do it over the phone with people who are trying to give me a big story. Every computer here in this office, we can push a button and begin to look at your intention about what's going on. And that's one of the reasons that we give away NanoVoice, which talks to you about giving you a printout of the person's real intention, because we think that you have a right to know what is real for the people that you're doing business with and having relationships with. So we'll see how far we can go with that when we talk.
I'm going to unmute somebody who just came into the Blog Talk dashboard, Sherry, and see if this is John, because he's calling in from a different area. Just a sec.
Okay. This
John,
was,
is that you?
Yes, this is me.
All right.
Good
thank
morning.
You
excellent.
For being on the show. Excellent.
So I had a little trouble getting through there, but on the third time was a charm.
Well, we
congratulations.
Were
the wonderful world of the Internet, yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show at such short notice. Last week we had another attorney on, Ralph Husatola, and he was talking about how to protect your business. And we got so much mail back about we need to know how to protect ourselves. So on a lark, I got in touch with J.J. Luna, and we are looking on Amazon right now for people who are following us on WebEx. We're looking at the book, How to Be Invisible. We talked about it being a very popular book and being sold since 2000, and that you are the attorney behind all of this. So we have your website up. You're sitting here, it looks like in front of an airplane.
Well, I do half aviation law, half privacy, and one of the main aspects is that the type of client who can purchase a private jet is also the type of client that uses sophisticated privacy and asset protection strategies that usually somebody more of a middle-class nature might not be used to thinking about or have the funds to pay somebody $50,000 to do that type of work for them. So sort of J.J. Luna's audience is a little more down-to-earth than the type of people who purchase business jets. So trying to meld some of those strategies used by the super wealthy, make those affordable on different levels.
Well, that was the first question I was going to ask you, is why do people want or need to be invisible?
Yeah, and that's obviously a complex question. I can state that from J.J. Luna's perspective, he started out trying to maintain his own personal freedom in Spain under the rule of Franco, which was very difficult with a secret police constantly wanting to know everything about everyone. So just for him to pursue his religious freedoms in Spain at that time, he started to develop these privacy methods for himself, just for his basic survival. Then it just became sort of an interest, a hobby that he became an expert at. So then in his later years, as he started to share that with other people, people had all of their own various reasons, but I think since the 50s, the need for privacy to the average person has dramatically gone up with the advent of the internet and the ability for your neighbor basically to very easily find out your social security number and look at your credit history and everything you own. And the same goes for a contingency attorney who might be looking at a lawsuit and trying to decide, is he going to take this lawsuit, which the merits of the lawsuit may not be very good, but if the pockets are very deep, he knows a settlement is probably going to be fairly easy.
And somebody asks you for your Social Security number, how can you politely and legally refuse?
Well, it usually, at least now, if it's a legitimate service, you can always say, is there an alternative that I can use to a Social Security number? In some cases, there's not. In some cases, somebody like J.J. Luna will go to a different service provider, you know, depending on what services he is. But I'll tell you one of the main ways that we do it is we use New Mexico LLCs outside of California. Not in California, it's very difficult to use these, but outside of California, using a New Mexico LLC just for privacy purposes, not for anything for business, but you can get a tax ID number for free attached to that New Mexico LLC. So you shared with the IRS that that LLC is connected to you. You don't file any tax returns with the LLC. You don't file any reports in New Mexico. But now you can use that to own something and use the tax ID, and everything's legal from the IRS standpoint, but you haven't let somebody know your tax, your Social Security number. If they tried, somebody tried to use that tax ID to get credit, it would fail immediately. It would be worthless.
Oh, because there's no asset.
Yeah, and usually, well, there may be an asset, but so for instance, the most popular thing would be in the states other than California is to purchase your house and put it in the name, title it in the name of a LLC that has a random name with its own tax ID number. and there's ways that they're structured so that the person who owns the LLC is not listed in any public record. So
well,
especially
in the,
yep.
In the state of Ohio, you must list who is requesting this LLC, and you must provide contact information. So there's an alternative to that?
Well, I don't know specifically Ohio's laws, but I'm assuming that what they're talking about is the organizer of the LLC. Well, there's any number of organizers, so J.J. Luna recommends a particular woman, Rosie, and she's at senoritarosie.com. But it's her information that's listed in Spain, in the Canary Islands. So if somebody goes to the public record, they're not going to get very far. They're going to get the name of the organizer and an address in the Canary Islands.
So you are suggesting that we all set up this ghost identity that you talk about in the book?
Well, probably the devil is in the details, as commonly said. Each situation has to be examined, and this is something people can do for themselves if they like, or they can, certainly it's something that I do for a living on behalf of other people, is to look at the specific situation that they're in and determine when is a New Mexico LLC legitimate, when is a trust, using some type of a trust, maybe even their own living trust. A living trust can be a good entity if it doesn't say your name. Now that's probably the first mistake, is that people name their living trust for their estate planning. They just put their name on the face of that, so that wherever it's used, somebody knows exactly who owns the assets.
Do you do this kind of thing for people, for us little peasant people?
Right, I can give you an example. So in California, I don't know if the number of people that listen to you are primarily in California or if they're spread all over, but
Worldwide.
So inside California, I'll just give an example because that's the most difficult. If you use an LLC, if a Californian owns an LLC from any state for any purpose, they're going to pay $800 a year tax to the state of California. Have to file a tax return. It's a minimum tax, and there are some exceptions, but I think people will find if they actually live in California, they won't fall into any of the exceptions. So it's probably a waste of time to try to figure that out. So using New Mexico LLCs, you know, for identity protection in California is out. So instead, we use a specific trust. So we can have a trust with a name. It's essentially a title-holding trust. The only purpose of the trust is to hold the legal title to a house, for example. In these cases, I act as trustee, or somebody can name anybody they want as the trustee that wouldn't be identified with them. And so I will sign all of the closing documents for the house. I'll sign the purchase agreements, everything. But I'm only doing so at the written direction of the actual person who owns who's wanting to purchase the house. We can even go so far as to set up the bank account in the name of the trust, so that when the funds are wired to the escrow company, the actual purchaser of the house is not identified. The trust has its own tax ID, and in this case, we were able to set up all of the utilities as well, everything. Garbage, water, internet, you know, the gas, the electricity, everything was in the name of the trust. So nothing related to that home was identified to the actual purchaser. So insurance is the only place where you have to be careful. You are going to have to identify yourself to the insurance company, because you don't want to have a suit against you personally, and the insurance company says, well, everything you own is in the name of this trust, and the suit's against you. We're not covering you. So that's the one place. You'd have to have a relationship with an insurance company, and they would know that you were connected to that property.
Okay, I have two or three questions from our audience, and they write them in a little chat. I'm going to try to combine the three questions. I'm on Medicare, and I have to give them my home address. When I tried to give them another address, like my business address, they cut off my prescriptions. I couldn't get my medication for months. Have you any advice on how to handle this?
Medicare is its own world of extremely complicated rules, and I would say when you're dealing with the government, you generally have to provide the real information, which is physical address, your actual name. So if you're going to take advantage of government benefits, if they know that you live at a certain place now and you want to try to switch that, I'd say that would be pretty much impossible unless you moved. And then it could, there's probably a solution there for somebody who wants to move, but I'm not sure what the risk is. I don't really worry about the government having my home address, because one of the things that J.J. Luna has always said, there's two entities you cannot hide from. It's the IRS and the FBI. They will find you. It doesn't matter. There's no strategy you're going to use that's going to escape their detection, although I, if you have time for it, I've got a little funny story about how the FBI couldn't find J.J. Luna.
Go for it.
When they tried. This was probably 15 years ago, and this gentleman was working for the government, and he was capturing personally, he was taking photos, secret satellite photos, and trying to sell them to foreign governments. He's in jail now, but when he tried to sell them to Gaddafi in Libya, Gaddafi was trying to curry favor with the CIA at the time, and so he ratted him out. Gaddafi told the CIA that somebody was trying to sell him top secret photos. So because it was a U.S. citizen and he was inside the U.S., it was turned over to the FBI, who immediately were wiretapping and following this guy. When he was in his office, they were in his car. When he was in his car, they were in his office. So, but they found the book How to Be Invisible in the back seat of his car. My name was listed in the first edition, and so they went to an old address of mine in San Francisco and woke up the resident there, who just said I wasn't there any longer. But they found me. The person called me, and within 30 minutes they found me. I was staying at a house that was not mine, no utilities in my name. I was just staying there during the week while I worked. You know, they must have found some phone records or something that had connected to the phone at that address, but they were there within 45 minutes. But they could not find and had been trying to find J.J. Luna as the author of the book, just because they knew that this potential spy had been trying to communicate with us. In this case, I couldn't remember. They served me with a subpoena. And they asked me if I knew how to find J.J. Luna, and I said he's been my client for years, but I don't know his address, and I don't know his phone number. He communicates with me. I've met him in many cities. I've been to his house, but try to find an address and try to find your way back there. I couldn't. So he was too far off the grid for the FBI to waste their time on. But in my case, I did find in my files a letter from this guy, and I must have, when he sent it in, I found it so strange that I kept it in a plastic bag with the envelope. And when I did call the FBI and told them that I had this letter, within 10 minutes they were in my office, fingerprinting me, dusting everything. So they have their ways, and they work very fast. And the moral of that is you can try to protect your identity from looky-loos, private investigators, contingency attorneys. You know, I work with a lot of people that have jobs like prison guard or judge. Maybe they've got a stalker, those types. We can be successful with that, but you're not going to hide from the government.
Boy, we have so many questions coming in. Here in Ohio, if you go off-grid and create your own electricity and have your own well, there's a law that says you must register with your county and your state and your local sheriff. That seems to me a little bizarre in terms of if I want to hide in the woods, I should be able to.
I know that most counties have rules that are related to 911 services, and so they're under a requirement. The counties are under a requirement that they must be able to associate, you know, in their area, every place where a human being is living. I had a place that was very rural, and it had no address. There literally was no, they'd never laid out an address. But so eventually for 911, I had to disclose that I was on that property. So that's the only, other than that, that's not an area of the law I'm familiar with.
There's two sides of things going on. 911 helps protect us if we get in some kind of trouble. It's also a way that we can be tracked. So it's a trade-off here for how secure you want to be and not get help. And, you know, I'm just thinking the government, and I'm going to be paranoid here for a minute, because we have some questions here about this also, that how can you hide if you are required with a 911. Another question here is how can you hide if you've got your phone on and it has a GPS tracker in it? How can you hide from school authorities if you have kids? I'm really tired. This is one of the comments. I'm really tired of leaving that trail behind. I don't want to be Hansel and Gretel, but I don't want to be arrested for something either.
Yeah, and I think you're facing a very difficult situation, and one that even J.J. Luna doesn't really address, although his kids were educated in, you know, privately in Spain in the 50s, so he doesn't have experience with the kinds of things that parents face today. And and our practice is primarily on separating your name. You're not trying to hide. What you're trying to do is separate your name from your home address and from your asset ownership. When I work with a client, we usually try to, you know, have some categories and things like retirement plans and government benefits, certain types of other banking relationships. You're just forced to be known, and we don't really focus on the political side. We're really practically focused on the business side of it. But the idea is to put a fence around those. Any address that's been used, any information, we capture that and make sure that as you go forward, it's not getting cross-referenced to new things, new assets, new locations. But I'll be honest, I haven't been faced with the issue of somebody, let's say, moving to a new area and wanting the school district to not identify them. Certainly, if you move to a new place and the name of the home is in the name of a LLC or a trust, and there's no utilities or other services that are in the name of a person, I'm not sure what happens in that case. I mean, how would they know you were there? I don't know. But, of course, that doesn't mean you're not breaking a law.
Well, here in Ohio, at least, I don't know where it is every place else, but there's an executive order from Obama that says he even owns and can control homeschooling. So even homeschoolers have to register here with the state, and that information is probably turned over to the government. You know, there's many questions come in. Some of them are about your private opinion, but Richard has an internet question.
I'm curious about if you have thoughts on having I love this metaphor of the fence. Do you have thoughts about creating a fence around your internet presence, meaning, you know, using a service? There are some services where you can have it so that your ISP is not directly pingable. It makes you appear to be somewhere else, so at least you're not so trackable that way, since we're so, and this is for me even pre, you know, all the NSA ridiculousness, but just in a general sense of building a firewall of sorts around your internet presence, either email or ways of, you know, just appearing someplace else.
Right. So,
any thoughts on that?
This is, sure. And first, let me start with how JJ Luna approaches this for his vast number of followers. The first thing he does is he limits his internet presence. So there's absolutely no Facebook accounts, no Amazon accounts, no social media whatsoever, except for in his case where, as an author, he's promoting his himself as an author for his book. But he doesn't have any Facebook presence. But for the average person, that's out. Smartphones and internet access from phones, out. You know, so he takes the position to just stay away from it. Then, since everybody needs internet service at this point, really to survive, you need internet access from your home. He uses a service that is not tied to his address, so he's using a wireless service, but it's all been set up through nominees, and it's mobile. It can move around. So obviously, if the government wanted to track the signal, they could find out where he's transmitting from. But he's not worried about that. He's more worried about people combing through or getting access to databases, you know, of identity information. So there's no internet company that has his name or address associated with any internet activity. There's certainly more sophisticated things, and a lot of this is available on the internet, and it's changing all the time, and I'm not an expert, but there's certainly services that you can use that will constantly change your IP address and move it all around the world. as a proxy server, and it as a proxy, so that the wherever you're going to, it's the IP address that they're registering is changing all the time. So you could even go back to the same website two or three times, and it won't even show that it came from the same place. And these services are getting more commercially available and useful. I mean, it used to be you had to be close to a computer hacker to really make this work for yourself. So that is possible, but there's always some cases where a server will recognize what's happening and won't deal with you, you know, in some cases. So what some services offer is you can press a button on your browser, and now you're in the proxy. It's taking care of it so that wherever you're going on the Internet is not registering you as being the person that's logging in. And then in cases where it doesn't work, you might have to be exposed a little bit. I don't know if that answers your question, but there's certainly technology is becoming more and more commercially available to help people with that.
Richard, do you want to have a follow-up to that?
No, that addresses sort of what I was talking about. I'm putting some information on chat about one of the services that I've looked into that does exactly what John's talking about, that creates a sort of an endless pinging situation. And a number of the people that I know, a lot of the professional nerds actually use a service like that, partially because when you're in a public Wi-Fi, it's very easy for a skilled person to hack into that public Wi-Fi and pull data. So when you use a service like this, that makes it then impossible for them to get to track you unless they're ridiculously skilled.
Well, it's another level of protection. Right, right. And what you're talking about there is it's a combination of two technologies. One is the technology which is a VPN. So it's creating a virtual private network that's encrypted from your laptop to the Starbucks router. There's a space there where it's possible when you're on a non-secure website that they can read, that somebody could pick up your information. So you could be sitting at Starbucks typing in a password that was unsecure. And the problem is, unless you're paying attention, you won't know. So with these services, you know, the minute you're connected to that public internet hotspot, your signal is encrypted and nobody sitting nearby can pick up any information. Then from the Starbucks router to wherever it is you're going, let's say you want to go look at some things on Amazon, Amazon would not register that it was coming from that particular Starbucks. It would be popping from different servers around the world, and if anybody ever tried to follow it back, that they just get lost in a tangle.
Mm-hmm. We have some
people who are using different servers here. I'm going to add some questions together. Actually, how to be invisible is a very how-to manual in itself. So I'm trying to ask a few questions that lead people back to the book. But you mentioned in the book that the post office sells or gives away your address. And I noticed when I look for something on Amazon over here on the side, there's a bunch of other things about it. So obviously they are linking interests with what's going on. Do you know if Amazon and some of these other places are forced by the government or they just sell the information?
I think there's combinations of those, and it's always buried in the terms and the conditions of the websites, but I think that the approach we take is not to ever think about whether the information is vulnerable. We just assume it is. We assume it's vulnerable because either they're being forced secretly to give it to the government, or it can be got through some sort of court proceeding, or they're selling it, or somebody has just hacked into it. So the idea is that whatever information there is about you that's in those servers is useless to anybody. They could you don't care if it's given away because it doesn't leave a trail that would, you know, mainly we're concerned about safety. J.J. Luna is mainly concerned about identity theft, safety. Somebody breaks into your car at the airport, realize, you know, you're on a business trip, your wife and kids are at home, they break into your car, your name is on your registration. Now they're either doing some type of social engineering to with the information there to for identity theft, or they're driving back to your house thinking you're out of town and break in, and then, you know, you've left your family behind, and they're in the house. So these are the primary things that that J.J. Luna was concerned about, is you know, your Amazon shopping list showing up in the New York Times, those types of things. So the way we do that is by having these sort of alter egos that could be disposed of if need be.
Since TSA agents are now allowed to get in your car in airport property, do you suggest people take out their registrations and addresses out of their car before they leave them on somebody else's parking lot?
Well, what we recommend is that your registration should be in the name of an LLC or a trust, and it should have an address that's not yours. Now, some states like California, it's fairly easy to have a mailing address on all your driver's license and your documents. I'm a resident of Kansas. I practice California law, but because of that, the aviation side of my practice, I'm a resident in Kansas. And here, you know, you are forced to put your home address on your driver's license. So that just means not leaving, you know, obviously not leaving your driver's license around where people could get access to it. But anyway, the main thing is to have the paperwork in your car should not have information that identifies you. But how often do we leave bills, bank statements, checks, canceled checks? It's all kinds of stuff in a person's car that they may not have even be thinking about that's got personal information on them.
We don't go around thinking that the people who run the airport are going to be searching your car either. We have a couple, we have many questions on the same idea, and one of them is, I want to know more about personal safety, like what happened with martial law in Boston. If the police come to your door, what are you obligated to do and to say?
That is, I'm sorry, but that's an area of law that I do not specialize in, and I'm really not familiar with the, you know, Massachusetts law, which I know from talking to lawyers in Massachusetts, it, you know, there's a few states, New York, Massachusetts, California, where you really have to know their law because they're trailblazers. They're willing to go beyond, whereas most states are followers.
Okay, so we don't know.
If there's something I can't speak to it as a expert, but anyway, pose the question again. If the authorities come to your door,
what do you do? One of the things that's coming in is there is a YouTube that says just don't answer the door, and if they really don't have a search warrant, they can't come in. My opinion about that Boston thing is that was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen, to route people out in the middle of the street with no insulin, no meds, no money, no food for their kids, and leave them out there for hours. You know, any crook that's running is going to see them coming up the street and move on. It just was stupid.
Right, right. Well, I can certainly say this, in general, about all law enforcement requests, that law enforcement agents are trained over and over in basically social engineering, how to get a person to accept a request for which there's not actually a legal document backing it up, but if the person accepts, then they're free to do whatever they want. So, you know, the safe bet is always, you know, if someone's concerned, is to say, let me have my lawyer take a look at that, of the let me see the paperwork, and let me call my lawyer. You guys wait outside, you know, that type of thing. Certainly, you know, what I'd say, one of the things that's becoming more and more common across the United States is to have your smartphone removed from your person during a traffic stop, and then have all of the information recorded. They plug a device into it. I think it's called a Starbright or a Cellbright, like a suitcase kind of thing, and it just extracts all the information out of it. And then they have the tools later, doesn't matter whether it's a BlackBerry or an iPhone or Samsung, and to some extent they can gain access to that information. Some phones are easier than others. I'll give you an example. Since a lot of people have iPhones and they think, oh, okay, I've got a four-digit code that I use, and so the phone is encrypted unless I type in those four digits. Well, the Cellbright can crack a four-digit code in 15 minutes. And so when a company like Apple will sell a phone and say, this phone is very secure, which it can be, but you have to enable a 10-digit and use a 10-digit random code of letters and numbers, and then it protects your emails and your attachments. But there's all of other types of apps you might have downloaded on your phone that the Cellbright's going to get into. And if you've shared passwords between applications and this and that, you know, they'll eventually find a way to get to the email and the attachments to the email. But this has been, seems to be passing legal tests so far, that data can be stripped from phones during a traffic stop. So simple things that people have to educate themselves on is what to do with your cell phone when you're being stopped by a police officer, you know, on the side of the freeway. If you don't mind me continuing, J.J. Luna doesn't use smartphones, doesn't advise people to use smartphones. He uses disposable, standard track phone type device, and takes the battery out when he doesn't need the phone. But he's in his 80s and doesn't live and die by his smart device like I do as an attorney. That's one way. The other way is put your cell phone under the seat and don't tell anybody you have it if you get pulled over. And I'd say that in any state you live in.
Are there trigger words they're looking for, especially with this NSA stuff, where they're looking at everything? Are there trigger words that can keep us out of trouble? I didn't get as far into the book as I wanted. So is that?
Well, in the book, he doesn't address any of that, but I can sort of speak to that. So with the NSA and with all of these things, what they're collecting is what is called metadata. So it's data about about communications, but it doesn't include the actual communication. So the NSA isn't collecting, as far as we know. So always have to say that. You know, we wouldn't know about this if it hadn't been leaked, you know, from several different sources. But they're collecting data, which is so enormous, it's something that they do two things with. If they have a phone number that there's of a, let's say, a terrorist or somebody they're trying to track, they can find that phone number in the mountain of data and then find out where is it calling, who's it calling, where has it been, but they don't know what the communications were, whether the emails or phone conversations. They don't have access to that, but that's immensely useful information to law enforcement to know where a phone was and what other devices was it contacting, because they can find those people. That's the one thing. The other thing, which we don't know yet, and nobody is really saying what they would do in terms of building algorithms that would crawl through the data, looking for a pattern that is interesting. That's the part we don't know yet. So for most of us, the patterns of our lives and the patterns of our communication are completely uninteresting, and there's no algorithm that is going to expose that as doing anything. But certainly the problem would be is if your lifestyle and the way you communicate follows the pattern of a criminal or a terrorist, you could get swept up into something that you, you know, in terms of investigation, that could be very disruptive to your life. And we don't know what those are. There's at least at this time, I have no idea how to protect myself from that.
What kind of person should buy this book?
Well, first, it's very interesting. It's a real eye-opener, and it's entertaining. I've read the book many times. In the recent third edition, I read it again sitting on the beach on Cape Cod on vacation and really enjoyed it again because he had added some, you know, updated and some new anecdotes. So it's an eye-opener for anybody who doesn't realize how often every day and in every way that you give yourself away, give information about yourself away, and, you know, chances are nothing's going to happen. But his book shows how specific incidents where things that people did innocently came back to haunt them. So I think it's a good eye-opener. And then what you do after you read the book is decide what level of privacy am I willing to go for. So, for example, at the minimum level, what we always suggest to people is don't receive mail at your house. Don't receive mail or packages at your house. There's too many scams that people use you, so that if a package did come to your house, you should know not to answer the door because it's not legitimate. But the way this is done is generally you have a P.O. box for your own name, maybe your first initial last name, and if there's any mail you must receive in your own name, a credit card statement, a social security statement, etc., you start to move all of that to a post office box. Doesn't have to be far from your house. The idea is just that it's not your home address. And then you might form a New Mexico LLC or have a living trust with a random name, and you open a box at the UPS store or similar where you can receive packages, but you don't have to be there to sign for anything. Then when you make your purchases, et cetera, you set up your accounts, and this can all be done. You know, you basically receive your packages and most mail in the name of a random name that doesn't identify you, and you have a separate address for the things that you must come in your name, and your home address is never used for anything ever again.
One of the things I really enjoyed and learned a lot from was the tricks that private investigators and other people try on just your innocent neighbors to pry information so they can find who you are. Those were total eye-openers for me, just a doctor calling or somebody saying they were a doctor and getting information they shouldn't have. So that, to me, was well worth the price of the book, double and triple over, because I'm not going to fall for those things now.
Right, and people, you know, you have to read. If you have elderly parents or other elderly relatives that know where you are, they're the ones who will get the social engineering. I mean, for example, probably if I know your last name, I know about how old you are, and if I know roughly where you were born, I can probably have your social security number within 45 minutes. And then along with that background, I'll have all people you've ever used as references on credit or the big data aggregators. They aggregate the data and look for connections between people, so that's easily available. So now I have a list of your relatives, and even if you're very private, they might not be so private. If I want to pry information, I'm going to start calling them. And so one of the things you have to do as you increase your own privacy is to let your relatives know. And you can look, you can subscribe to a Spokeo, I think it's S-P-O-K-E-O, and see what data they have on you. They've got a lot of data. They probably have a picture of your house and a list of your hobbies. And I'm not that's not a joke. And a list of people you associate with. I'd want to think about those people and say to each one of those people, if anybody asks about me, I don't care if they say they're a police officer, I don't care if they say they're a doctor, you know, if they're not standing in front of you with a badge and a subpoena, I prefer you not share any information. because it's always going to be some weird emergency. You know, they're going to, the social engineer is going to use something of urgency that's going to scare you, and you're afraid if you don't comply, you're going to hurt your friend or you're hurt your child.
I'm going to read something. I'm going to change a word. So they've all got us by our money. Even when we buy groceries, we'll pay double if we don't give them our little card, and they sell that information to show what we're eating, what we're buying, how much we're buying. So what would you say to drop out of these department store and grocery store, I don't know if they're clubs or what, where you buy things at a discount and just pay through the nose?
Well, if you notice on those things, and of course most of us have had them at one time or another, but you know, never hurts to start someplace. The idea is to start this creating of this commercial alter ego. We sell a lot of New Mexico LLCs that just have a name, a random name, Lawrence Johnson, LLC. And now maybe the person opens up a P.O. box that says Lawrence Johnson, LLC, but the people are going to put mail in there that says Lawrence Johnson on it. And now you've got an address and a name, and maybe you have a throwaway track phone for $20, and now you've got a name, a phone number, and address that you can start to use for some of these situations where they're generally, you know, if I go to the store, I just swipe my my membership card. They don't check if it's my name or not. The points just go to where they go. And when I swipe that at the gas pump, I get my my discount, but it's not pointing to me.
Ah, so sign up in this different name. For people who want to get in touch with you, or do you want people to get in touch with you, how should that be done or not?
Okay, so, right, well, and first say that I've got quite a backlog at most times, so it could take a week or so, but in general, I do a $500 evaluation. So if you have no idea what you really want, you don't have a specific objective, you just have some concerns, you know, I can spend a few hours with you by email, you know, spaced over time. I call that a privacy evaluation, and that's $500, which, you know, people send to me in advance or pay it on my website. But if I get too many of those, I have to tell people I'll have to get to you in a couple of weeks. Let's say if somebody wants to purchase a house and they want to be walked through each of the steps and have help, you know, they should budget somewhere around $1,500 to $2,000, I would say, for that. And so just to give you an idea. But I can get you started with, you know, some of the advice that I've given here. If somebody's really on a budget, if they go to jjluna.com, they can probably work their way on the internet, even with some Google searches, to a free copy of the first edition of the book. It'll be out of date, but it will have the same eye-opening effect as if you purchase the third edition, which I highly recommend. You know, so I wouldn't be careful. Amazon is selling the second edition, and that's just, it's not worth your money to pay for that when you could either read the first edition for free or the third edition for the same price. So that's a caution to your followers that not to purchase the second edition.
And where do we get the third edition? From your site, or where do we actually find the real third edition?
There's a link to it on Amazon. From my website, you can click on the How to Be Invisible, or you can go to jjluna.com. There's a Kindle version, and there's the hard copy. So you can search it in Amazon, find it at jjluna.com, or go to my website, and right on the front of the page will be a link. Now, that said, let me just so we're consistent here, with Amazon, you can go to any free email service and set up a free email. And there's a lot of I don't do it with Gmail because they have more sophisticated controls. You may need to have a cell phone to get that set up, and Google reads every one of your emails. I hope everybody knows that. When you write an email in Gmail, their algorithms read the email in order to post advertisements related to the subject matter of your emails. But go to some other freebie email service, and then you can go to I think it's called fakeid.com or fakeidentity.com, but there's a free website out there that'll generate an identity for you, a name, an address. You can click it a bunch of times. You can say, I want to be a male between 35 and 40, and all kinds of things like that. So, or make it up yourself. Pick a name and an address, get the free email account. You can then sign up for an Amazon account with that email. It's best if you have two. Make two fake email addresses from some site so that you can have a password recovery website, or if you get locked out of one email, etc. So once you have the Amazon set up in that name, you can just go to the supermarket and you can buy $200 or $50 worth of Amazon gift certificates put the codes in so you can fund that account, and then you can purchase whatever you want. And if you've set up an address at a UPS store that's in a different name, you could set it up in that. You could say you can go in there, and you're going to have to provide your address. I mean, you're going to have to provide your driver's license to open the box, but you can put it in any name, and so now you have a place to receive your packages. So that at this point, you've contained your name only to the file of the UPS store, but all the Amazon stuff has happened without anything being recorded in a database somewhere about you personally.
A lot of this information is in this ID, this manual, how to be invisible and how to hide your ID. So they don't need to get in touch with you for something that simple, do they? Just read the book?
J.J. Luna is more about eye-opening, and he points you in the right direction, and then in the appendix he has reference lists which are going to point back to me or to his recommended LLC organizer. So it's not going to give you that step-by-step instructions. I think somebody would probably, if they're not handy with Google and they're not technically oriented to where they know how to set up email addresses, they probably have to work with me on that. And as part of a privacy evaluation, that's easy enough to get that all done.
Okay, this has been great. You have any other questions, Richard?
I'm, almost speechless. But I do actually have a question from chat that somebody's asking. If you could repeat the name of the organization that keeps track of information that's available publicly, you said some URL.
Oh, right. One notorious one is called Spokeo. I think it's S-P-O-K-E-O. People should be Googling themselves. Now, I have the benefit of the name John Clark, which you're going to be digging through a mountain of information before you figure out which is me. The more common your name is, the better. And when you do set up your alter ego, I don't recommend John Doe or John Smith, but I recommend something like that. I want to pick a name that when I Google it, it would take me the life of the universe to try to sort out what data belongs to who. That's definitely the hiding in plain sight is helpful there. But there's another one called Intellius, and there's about five of these companies, and it's just worth noting that these people are in the business of destroying your privacy for commercial purposes. It's not political, but it could be used for political purposes. They're buying up magazine databases. They're buying old data out of computers. They're buying data anywhere they can vacuum it up, running it through specialized computer programs that can extract it and then build your profile. So your profile is already built at five major companies. And each one of these, you can write to them and have them remove your information for a period of time. So this is the problem. You'd end up having to be communicating with these companies three or four times a year in order so that when people search their databases or subscribe to their databases, they will not get your information. And I've tried it. I mean, I've done some of it. Some of it can be done by email. Sometimes you have to write a letter, but it's time consuming, and you know, so they don't want you to do it. But anyhow, so I just named two of the five, and there's lots of articles out there about these big data aggregators like Intellius and Spokio.
Do you want people to have your email address or your website?
Yep, they go to my now the main thing is what I find is a lot of times people will start sending me emails asking me all kinds of questions. I'll try to be as polite as possible, but you need to, I make my living by my time, so it's fairly precious. So I really ask people to put up, if they want to work with me directly, then they're going to have to put up at least a $500 deposit before we get started, and then I can look at what their situation is and what they need. And I always try to do the minimum amount that somebody really needs. I'm too busy to oversell my services, so I'll try to steer you in as quickly to the solution that minimally meets your needs. But my email address is attorney@privacylawoffice.com.
Lawoffice.com. Lawoffice.
Right. So I'm licensed in California. I only have attorney-client privilege with people who are residents of California, but I provide legal strategy to people in other states. Or if you, what I find a lot of the time is people have their family attorney that they've used, but that person has no background in privacy. I can always be associated with a local attorney, and then through that association, I can actually provide legal advice to somebody in any state, as long as I'm connected to their local attorney.
Great. Thank you, John Clark, if that's your real name.
Yep. That's my real name. I've sacrificed my privacy, so I'm fairly public.
We certainly thank you for being on, and we will let J.J. Luna know that it was a great success. Even though he couldn't be with us today, we certainly have a lot of information, and I'm sure a lot of people will follow up with this.
For $5,000, you can sit down face-to-face with J.J. Luna. He's hard of hearing for the phone, very difficult for him to do phone interviews, but he does for the very specialized clients, and he's worked with people that maybe the Chinese government is after. People with very serious problems, he works directly with them. But that's $5,000 to sit down with the world famous J.J. Luna.
Well, he outlines so much of it in the book, right in the front. This level. There's four levels he looks at for privacy. So he makes it easy for you to make the choice.
Yes, very good. And with that, thank you. I do appreciate your time and having me on.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. That was really mind-bending. Yep. I'm impressed that you use a smartphone. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For those of you who want to gather the chat, go to the chat, click, do Control-A, that'll turn it all blue, and then Control-C, that'll copy it, and then you can put it on a Word document or notebook or wherever you want to put it.
And for what Sherry is talking about, she's talking about the chat at WebEx, where people have been throwing in questions every, 15 seconds. for people on Blog Talk Radio that are listening and looking at our chat and thinking, I put a lot of information there. You can do the same there as well, Command A and Command C to copy it all. But there's a lot of information at the WebEx feed. Wow.
We will follow up with this, and if you there's more things that you folks want to see, if we could bring in an expert on really how to set up these LLCs, if you want to disappear. Actually, I think we need to be better known. We were talking before the Blog Talk Radio show went on about how people are really going to need us as a group of people who are concerned about people's health. And there's a lot of new people. There's a lot of old people. Well, I shouldn't say old people. There are a lot of practitioners on here, bioacoustic practitioners who need the information. We certainly appreciate
it. I think this book is really, you know, from what I got to look at this book, I think it's a great foundation for, you know, just a really good foundation for, you know, getting, just, you know, like you said, building a fence. You're not trying to hide. I think just protecting, covering your butt. I can say that.
Easy to read. Very down to earth. And one of the things we never got into that I wanted to talk to him about, if you're a Bradley Manning, if you're an Edward Snowden, and you want to disappear and still blow the whistle on somebody, how do you do that? Do you need an attorney? We just never got there. So I will ask him to come back. I don't know if he has expertise in that area, but I'll find somebody. And also, there is something that someone mentioned. I never got to bring it out. But it says on YouTube how to protect yourself when the police come to your door. And it simply says, don't answer the door. And if they don't have a legitimate search warrant, they can't break in and bust in your door. Just don't answer the door. But as soon as you answer the door, that's their invitation to come in and do what they want. I thought that was great advice. I don't know how true it is. But there's a lot of things.
I think the tricky part about that advice is I know people who live in apartment buildings in parts of the city. I'm north of San Francisco, who have had police accidentally smash in a door because they're coming in to bust, you know, a bad drug gang next door to them, and they bang on the door and they say, you know, blah blah blah, and the next thing you know, they're kicking in your door. Oops, we're sorry, and then you have to sue the city to get reimbursed. So pretty much if they want to kick in your door, they're going to kick in your door.
And say it was
an accident. I like the theory, though.
And say it was an accident. The other thing I saw on YouTube is, and I don't know how true this one is either, they can't arrest you unless you step out of your house. They can't come in and arrest you. But if you are on public property, they can. So just stay in your house. Don't open the door. See what happens. We will
and
have
on that
more
happy note, what are we doing on Tuesday?
Is this the first vocal profiling class call? Yes, and what we're going to do with the new Vocal Profiling Live will be every other week, and this is the premiere. And what has come in is we're going to do Manning, Bradley Manning and his motivation, and Edward Snowden and his motivation. And we're going to show you on their vocal print how we found this out. Then we're going to take the best 5 minutes of that exposure and put it up on YouTube for everybody, not to explain everything of how we did it, because that's only going to be for our audience, but what we found out. And the next one after that is going to be on the 1964 speech by Ronald Reagan about socialized medicine and how we found out that at that point he had Alzheimer's. We're going to do an Alzheimer's evaluation in between, but we need to bring up the fact that Nancy Pelosi looks like she has Alzheimer's. I think that's this $64 billion or whatever it is that they're planning on spending to get Obamacare approved and up and running and to keep Pelosi in the Senate protecting Obamacare. Now, there's good things in Obamacare. The first 30 pages, there's a lot of good things in there. But when you read on and when you read some of these books, there's a lot of things that are bad in there. So if you want to keep Obamacare, keep the good stuff and get rid of the bad. Get rid of the stuff away people's privacy, like the IRS running our health care system, like death panels, like having to justify why you get to stay on the planet. There are things in there that have to be dealt with. And one of the things I especially want dealt with is Congress and a lot of people, including the IRS now, has exempted itself from Obamacare. It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I should have said that.
I don't know. I think something else is happening to the goose or the gander, but once again, I will not say that on air.
Okay.
Congress, that's a whole, you'll get me up on my, you know, soapbox on talking about Congress. Wow.
If it's so good, why did they have to force people to sign it without ever reading it? Why did Obama go say this was a duly executed law when he knows the foundation of it is plainly not good? If it was a good law, they wouldn't have to do it in secret.
And on that happy note...
Yes, I've got to get prepared for our professional class this afternoon. We could go on talking about this for a long time.
A long time.
Yes.
Everybody have a great weekend or the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next week or on Tuesday on the new Vocal Profiling Show. That's going to be a WebEx and also a Blog Talk Radio show. I'm just confirming that.
Yeah, we're taking Happy Hour, which we were supposed to do every other week.
Right.
And in the in-between week, we're doing a show called Vocal Profiling Live, where we're going to take hot topics and expose what's really going on. So we'd appreciate hearing from any of you guys.
And you can always find out more information at soundhealthoptions.com.
Yes, if anybody wants to know about it or join us, we haven't sent anything out about that yet. They can go, you know, just to the radio part of Sound Health Options, and it will be up there. And maybe even under Happy Hour we'll put part of it. So radio, it's the same time, just like this, only that 6 to 7 on Tuesday, we'll be broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio also.
All right, everybody. Thanks. I can see Blog Talk's going to cut us off any minute, so I'm ending this show. That's enough of this. Thanks very much,
later,
everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.